good to have a hope, isn't it? How many is enjoying the parables? Amen. Enjoying the parables. I've really enjoyed them a great, great deal. And, we talked about it some in Sunday school this morning. According to the crowd that Jesus was in, what parable he used. Amen. And so he taught in a way that could reach and touch everyone. And I am so thankful for the way he taught and for these parables. So what a blessing it is to use a symbol of something we understand to explain heavenly matters. And lots of times that's we can use the same thing, can't we? And we can do. To reach folks. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Lord's laid anything on you? All right, if you have your Bibles, you would turn with me to Luke chapter 15. I want to talk about a parable. I've said it on most of these. I've probably referred to it. I've read it. I don't think I've preached a message on it, and but I have kind of familiar one of them that you read, and you some of the words out of it, quote some, but really to get in, it's a different parable maybe. If you would stand with me, starting at verse 8, the parable of the lost coin. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Of course, I can't remember real good, but I think we did the parable maybe earlier. I know of about the lost sheep, and looking and thinking about these, kind of familiar, kind of a little different, but there's something that I'd read and studied that jumped out in the parable of the lost sheep. It lost 1%, 1 out of 100. Parable here today, it lost 10%, 1 out of 10. Then I don't know when we'll get into it, but then there's down below it the parable of the lost son. It lost 50%. And thinking the importance of losing some. You know, that you think, well, you've lost 1 out of 100, what's that? But I think that what the Lord is showing us, that losing that 1 out of 100 is as important to the Lord as losing one of your 2 sons was to the dad. And losing the 1 out of 10 was just as important as losing one of the 2. The importance, and I want us to look today, and we might think, and as we see and we go in, well, it's just a coin. It was just one little sheep. He had 99 more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And Father, as we come to you now, to stand behind this sacred desk again, I ask you for the anointing. I pray for your touch from up on high. God, you'd stir within me your spirit, and God, that you'd use me today. I'm unworthy, but I pray you'd make me usable. And God, you'd speak to our hearts today. It's not about me. Hide me behind the cross. God, that you preach, send the preacher that will preach to us today. Challenge us, and God, we'd leave changed in our mind about some things. Lord, we love you and praise you. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Found this story that I thought would be good to start out. The boss of a big company needed to call one of his employees. He had an urgent problem with one of the main computers. He dialed the employee's home telephone number and was greeted with the child's whispered hello. The boss asked, "Is your daddy home?" "Yes," whispered the small voice. "May I talk with him?" the man asked. To the boss's surprise, the small voice whispered, "No." The boss persisted, "Is your mommy there?" "Yes," this came the same answer. "May I talk with her?" Again, the same voice whispered, "No." "Well, is there someone else there that I might talk to?" the boss asked the child. "Yes," whispered the child, "a policeman." "Well then, may I speak to the policeman?" "No," whispered the child, "he's busy." "Busy doing what?" asked the boss. "Talking to mommy and daddy and the fireman," came the whispered answer. Now the boss was growing concerned, and just then he heard what sounded like a helicopter through the earpiece on the phone, and he asked, "What is that noise?" A helicopter, answered the whispering voice. Alarmed, the boss nearly shouted, "What is going on there?" And in an awed whispering voice, the child answered, "The search team has just landed a helicopter." "Why are they there?" And there was a muffled giggle as the child said, "They're looking for me." Oh, and when I seen that, I thought, wow. Get us thinking, boy, they was looking for something precious. And also reminds us of a couple of things, our forgetfulness. You know, we've heard of the great hereafter. That's when you go in the room and you say, "Now, what did I come in here after?" Some of us got that, don't we? And the chronic misplacement of things. I don't know about you, but I lose everything. I'd lose my head if it wasn't hooked to me. Anyway, we want to look at this passage, and it's about misplacing things and about something that has been that we can't find. And a lot of folks believe different ways. Some of the commentators say this is talking about someone's in a backslidden condition that's kind of gone back, and some says it's a lot, but I think it would work either way. But the importance of it, the first thing I've seen is the reason for the reaction. In verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver? The woman, a lot of folks, some of them say this means Christ. This is a picture of Christ. Some say it's a picture of the church. I think either one would work here. Probably Christ, but I want to take about the church just a minute. I want us to think about when we get some pieces misplaced, are we concerned about them? Are we searching for them? Or do we say, well, we've got 60 or 70 left. What's the concern, the importance? See, the thing of this parable is the importance of the piece that was missing. And thinking about that, and I mentioned earlier, but the 1%, that here was 10%. Now, if you lost 1%, but when you go to losing 10%, now that's a different story. It gets a little more deeper in the pocketbook. And thinking on these things, and in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Once a soul's lost, it's lost, and there's no buying it back. There's no price. The price has already been paid, and when we get too far, and we've gone too far, and we've crossed that deadline, and life has gone, or whatever the thing, the situation, but it's too late. We can't never buy it back." See, there's the importance of it. Once it's too late, it's too late. The Bible says if a tree falleth, that's the way it's going to lie. And looking at this and thinking of the importance of this, it says here that a woman have 10 pieces, if she lose one, a piece of silver. This, what are we talking about this morning? A coin. And if you got a coin in your pocket, I don't have, but if you got a coin in your pocket and you pull it out, there is a superscription on it. It's somebody's head on it. And thinking and looking about this and looking of this coin and thinking of the Lord, in Luke 20:24, the Bible said, "Show me a penny whose image and superscription hath it." And they answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore to Caesar things that's Caesar's, and to God the things that's God." And that when we're looking and we're thinking about godly things, we are in the likeness and the image of Almighty God. He said in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image." See, now this coin takes a different twist right here. When we look, and the Bible says, what is it said? That when God made man, that he stood over and waved and breath come in him. I love this. He had to get down. The Bible says that God breathed the breath of life. He got down and made man in the dirt. He got dirty. Glory. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. And he got down and got dirty. And he got down on his hands and knees and breathed the breath of life into a man. And he said, "I make man in my image, and my breath is in him, and he is a living soul. He is a immortal, but his soul will be mortal. It'll live on somewhere." And I tell you that it's an importance. A man is important to God. Now the coin itself was fairly inexpensive. Well, it's probably a day's wage. According to where you look and comparing it, and it's 3/4 of a day to a day's wage. Now, that's important to us, but it's not going to break the bank, usually. Most of us will take a day off to go hunting or fishing and golfing or shopping. I'll talk to the women. But the importance, see, but the Bible also says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is filthy rags." The Bible tells us man ain't that important. Man's a bad apple. But in God's eyes, we're as precious as this coin. And thinking about this coin that he said here, the reason for his reaction, because of the importance of it. This lady flipped out when she lost this coin. She tore the house upside down. Have you ever lost anything like that? I can't even remember which one of us done it, but a year or so ago, me and Rhonda, one of us lost the keys to the car. Wow. When you lose or misplace something, I remember one time I had sold something, had $1,400. I come in and give it to Rhonda. I said, "Put this up." And then I was buying something else. I said, "Where's that money?" She said, "I don't know what to do." I said, "Do what? What do you mean you don't know what you done with it? That's $1,400, and we tore the house up in." That's been a little while ago. But it is the reason for the reaction. They panicked. But the reason of the story I read, reason for that reaction. They didn't know where this little child was. They had flipped out. I'd say they were getting ready probably to call the National Guard in. importance of it. Now I want to look at the routine of the response in verse 9. Or in verse 8, one piece, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently. Light a candle. If you want to find something, best way to do is turn a light on it. We like darkness a lot of time because one thing, you can't see everything in the dark. One thing good about me, you can't see how ugly I am in the dark. When you turn the light on, you say, whoa, turn the light back on. But looking at the light, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That he comes and shines the light. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, the Bible says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I'm so glad of the shining light of Jesus that come and that I seen and I was taught, that came and made a difference in my life, that came and shined in my heart and said, Tim, you need a Savior. The way you're going, you ain't going to make it. You're going by the way. You're going to wind up in hell. You're not never going to be able to own anything. You're going to waste all your money. You need to straighten up. And I thank God that in 1993, that May the 10th, that me and Rhonda made our way to an old-fashioned altar, and we ain't been the same since. I thank God for the light of Jesus Christ that shines abroad in our hearts. Also, looking about that light, she turned the light on. Not only did she turn the light on, she swept the house. It's just like the Lord when he got down on his knees. She got dirty. She got down dirty. I bet the dust was a-balling, don't you? That broom was going. Probably areas that hadn't been cleaned in a long time. Even cleaned under the rug this time. Moved the furniture. Search diligently, the Bible says here. But she was looking, and I'm telling you that I'm so glad, but when I swept the house, that my heart was swept by conviction that day. I'm glad for the person of the Holy Spirit that still picks on the hearts and still is calling men and women today and saying, you need to be saved. You need to commit your life to the Lord. And I'm so glad that also that after I got saved, that same picking is on my heart. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have acted that way. I want you to go back and tell them you're sorry and that you spoke the way you shouldn't. You had a wrong attitude in that situation. Boy, ain't you glad for that of the Holy Spirit. Except the Father draw you, you can't come into the Lord. This is a reason why it's so dangerous putting off salvation. Is if he quits drawing, we'll never get it. The Bible says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And then, she seeks diligently. Did you notice that? She didn't say she seeks diligently. She seeks diligently until she finds it. She wasn't quit until she found it. Have you ever lost your billfold? I'm telling you, air is its own. The world shuts down if you lose your billfold. I mean, most of y'all might carry a lot of money. I don't carry a great deal of money. I try to keep a couple dollars anyway. But it's my billfold. You don't want to lose your billfold. Seek diligently. This means that the means and methods God uses to bring a lost soul to him. Again, we spoke in Sunday school this morning about this ways. The Bible says methods are many and principles are few. Methods may change, but principles never do. We gonna preach the same message. We just might do it in a different way. Amen. And looking and thinking. See, when it comes down, this is where God puts us to work. This is where we come in and get to be part of this thing as known as salvation, is that we get to be part. Like these brochures I talked about handing out, we ought to need 1,000 of them. These things for the revival, we ought to need thousands of them. This is where we get to shine. This is where we get to be part of His redemption work. He said, go into all the world. Make disciples of them and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. See, you know, I can't remember, this may have been on a Wednesday night or Sunday. It was, and I forget the number, but a big amount of people that said reason they hadn't come to church. You have any idea what it was? Nobody asked them. They'd never been invited to church. Can I tell you something? That's our job. Amen. That is where we get to be part of the redemptive work of God. How many people's going to go to hell that we could have invited? Another thing that the people says is, this Jesus that you talk about, I'm kind of interested in. But these folks that go to church, I don't want nothing to do with them. That tells me we don't look like Jesus then. Come on! Amen. They were first called Christians at Antioch. What did that mean? They said there's a bunch of people that acts and looks just like Jesus did. Come on, it's getting quiet in here. I'll use this thing for wipe sweat and... See, it's reaching the importance of a soul. And again, I'll reiterate that once that soul is lost, it's too late. I want us to, a warning. Flashing lights, sound the alarms. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and 33, it said that he's a watchman upon the wall and has alarmed the people of the danger that comes. We are watchmen. It's our job to alert folks. Now I want to look for the reason for rejoicing. She tore the house. I could see the husband come in. What in the world has happened to this house? Amen. All the neighbors probably been over there helping her, looking out in the yard, looking. I didn't lose it over at your house, did I? If they had text and Facebook, it'd have been all over Facebook. I have lost my coin. Now it would be, we'd have to go to the computer. I have lost my cell phone. I didn't think about that. We could come around here. Now the importance, say, what if we lost their cell phone? How many's left their cell phone at home? How many's turned around and went back and got it? Amen? Man, we've lost all connection if we'd left our phone at home. I don't know how in the world we did it back in the 80s, do you? You young folks don't know how deprived we was. I can remember when not every house had a phone. And the ones he did, he's on the party line. And there was one person that really liked to talk on the phone. I'll leave that alone. The reason for rejoicing. If you go back up into verse 6 in chapter 15, the Bible says, and when he come home, he called, this was the one with the lost sheep. When he come home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then in verse 23 and 24, this is the father when the son comes home. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son, which was dead, is alive again, and he which was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. And then look in verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I tell you, there's a reason to cut a shine when a soul gets saved. There's a reason to shout the house down. There's a reason to get excited. Let me tell you, if we don't get excited down here, he said he's calling his friends together, as we as Christians, as friends in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we can't get excited when somebody comes to know the Lord, we're going to miss a boat when we get to heaven. Because I'm telling you, they're shouting the streets of gold when somebody comes to know the Lord. They get excited in the presence of the angels. They get excited in the presence of God. They get excited when people comes to know the Lord. I tell you, you take an old preacher boy that's been praying for somebody and it's been preaching their heart out to see them walk that aisle. I tell you, the night men run to come, Alfred Cutshaw was in his 60s. He jumped straight up and turned plumb around and landed back on his feet the way he was turned plumb around in air. Him in his 60s. I tell you, he got a good old dose of the Holy Ghost when he started seeing people come to know the Lord. He got excited. He knew the difference of what it meant to be lost and then be found. First Corinthians 12:25 said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 26, and rather one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We're to get excited together. We're to cry together. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. I tell you, I know some folks probably say, preacher's got too much. It gets a little carried away sometimes. And you may be right. But I tell you, I can't help but get excited when about the things of God. I was on my way to hell. I deserve hell. And he stepped in and said, I don't want you to go to hell. I'm going to make a way that you can go to heaven. Hallelujah. If I don't get you shouting, there's something bad wrong. Amen. I tell you, we ought to get excited and make a lapse like Sister Kathy does. And get, she knows what it means to be lost, and she knows what it means to be found. Amen. I'm afraid we forget what it means to be lost. We forget where we come from. Amen. I don't say dwell on the past, but sometimes we got to just look back and say, whoa, glory for Satan. I remember we used to take videos that still do at Christmas, and we'd take a video years ago. Then Rhonda and I got in church, got saved, got things straightened up, and trying to live right. And then we went back and looked at one of those videos. And I remember my brother had the camera, I think it was. It came around and stuck it right in my face. And I remember the words that came out of my mouth. And two or three years later, I couldn't believe that I was saying those things. Amen. I said, oh, Lord, help me. Amen. Didn't you know what I immediately did? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for changing me from that to this. Amen. I've still got a way to go, but thank you, I'm not where I used to be. I thank you where I am, but glory, hallelujah, I'm not where I'm going to be either. Praise the Lord. It's all right to get excited. I'm not into drumming anything up, but I tell you, when you get to feeling a good old dose of the Holy Ghost and God gets all over you, I tell you, it's okay to raise your hand. It's okay to shout. It's okay to cry.
Amen.
Now I'm going to try to wind this thing up. Maverick's glad anyway. Everybody thought he's the only one said it, but this coin was probably a piece of one piece of tin that went in a woman's headdress. And when they would get married, that most time the gift would come from the father, and this would be a headband that would be put on in the Jewish women. And there was 10 pieces. And it was worth 10 days' wages, but each 10 pieces. Now I'm going to twist it around and tell you how important it is. You women, what if you lost your wedding ring? I'll go buy another one. It'll be all right. It wasn't that much. Special. It's something special about it. Such, you don't replace those. I've got a couple guns my daddy gave me. One of them's kind of rare, but it's still not worth that much. I wouldn't take $1 million for them. I don't loan them either. I've got a new one ain't shot but once. You can borrow it. But you're not getting my old shotgun and my rifle my daddy got. They'd trade two pigs for that rifle. Amen. See, it's special. That's who we are to God. It's enough for him to leave the splendors of glory and get in the dirt and sweep out to save us. Wow. This is the turn of the story, isn't it? Man, the importance of this piece. There was no way that she was going to leave a grain of dirt or sand unturned till she found it. Jesus said, I'll not be still till I make redemption right for man that they can be saved. I'll go to the cross. I'll go and give everything that I have so man can be saved. Whew. Wow. What a story it is. Do you love the gospel? I love the gospel, don't you? This morning, this story that we looked at is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to die for sinners, just like me and you. But we have a part in it. If we let down our part, if the gospel be hid, it'll be hid from those that's lost. A saved man has the gospel. A lost man don't. You might say, but preacher, we don't connect with the lost now. But we did a parable just the other day. Remember the steward that was wasted his master's goods and he fired him? God commended him for using it wisely. We ought to use what we have wisely to win the lost. Amen. We've got some good opportunities coming to witness, invite, and evangelize our communities. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We're so thankful, Lord, for your blessings, your goodness,
all your mercy and grace.
Father, we're so thankful now this morning that you've spoke to our heart. Lord, through your word, we have the story given to us today of how precious this coin is to the lady. Lord, we've seen how precious souls is to Jesus Christ. He left the splendors of glory and took on human flesh. But Lord, I ask you this morning, and only you know, and we don't even know ourselves, how important are these souls to the church? Is that our number one goal as a church, to reach the lost? Lord, if it is, we're not doing too good of a job.